Bonjour. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, fresh off my trip to Montreal. So
you couldn't resist, could you?
I couldn't. And along with Debbie Giorgiani. You know, well, it's funny because when I was in Montreal, people would say, of course, speaking French, you know, bonjour. And I would say bonjour. And then they'd be off and running with French. And I'd say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Bonjour is the only French I know.
Slow down.
I also know the word for yes. But it's great to be back and took everyone's prayer intentions there. And today, Debbie, we've got a topic that I've been looking forward to this topic. We're going to ask Take Two family today, call us and share with us, you know, what it means to you when our priests wear their clerics, we call them the clerics, the priestly clothes, when our religious men and women wear their habits. How important is that to you? Is it meaningful? Does it show you know, that they are kind of like, you know, 24/7 on the job in that role, the vocation they have been called to? And I'd really love to hear stories, Debbie, of people when you've been out and about in your daily life and maybe you've seen a priest or a religious and how you've said to them, thank you for being a priest, thank you for being a religious, thank you for wearing your habit. So we're going to be talking about this today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So you know where I'm going to go with this, because when we used to travel for pledge drives all over the country, you and I, when we would see sisters in their habits or priests, and especially if they're wearing their cassock, you know, we would always go up to them. And I remember we made a point to do that in the many airports that we were in. And so there was a funny story I'll weave into this discussion later that I just thought was hilarious. I remember it to this day only because the look on Father's face. It's just, so I'll share that. But here we want to ask the question, what does it mean to you when our priests and religious wear their clerics and habits? What does it represent to you? How do you feel? You know, I know for me, as soon as I see a religious, I think of God immediately. And so it's just very interesting. Does that happen to you? Or maybe, you know, it triggers a not so good response. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with a priest or a nun. But, you know, let's talk about that as well, because you don't want to just make that your feeling for the rest of your life, right? You want to get past that somehow. And the way to do that is by talking about it and sharing our stories, because people are people and people are going to make mistakes and people are sinful. And so we do have to work through all that. So call in. The phone lines are just starting to light up. That's great. And we've got Vanessa on the phones, Jerry, today. We've got Michael at the controls and Pedro on social media waving to all of you guys. Yes. Hi, you guys on social media. Thank you. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and again, share your stories of just happening upon a priest or a religious brother or sister. I have a story that I love to share. Debbie mentioned the travel for the pledge drives. I used to be on the road about half the year doing Catholic radio pledge drives, and I always used to like to go to confession before I'd get on a plane. You know, it's always a good thing to do to kind of clean up the soul, be in a state of grace and in good standing with the Lord. And this one time I had not had the opportunity to get to confession. So I got to the airport. This was in San Diego, at San Diego International Airport. And I just said a prayer. I said, Lord, please, I really would like to go to confession. Please let me see a priest. And after I checked my bag, I started walking toward the escalator to security checkpoint. And I saw in front of me this gentleman. He had black pants on and kind of a greenish coat, but I could see above the collar of the coat, I saw the color black there as well. And I thought, could that possibly be? So I hurried up a little bit and got in front of him and turned around. Sure enough, he was a priest, and I was able to go to confession. And you know, Debbie, that overjoys our priests when, you know, if we go to them in public and maybe go to the sacrament of confession or thank them for being a priest or our religious sisters and brothers. So I think this is going to be a very fun and impactful conversation today.
I agree. I love when the priests wear their clerics, especially the cassock. cassock. I love the cassock. Okay, what does it mean to you when our priests and religious wear their clerics and habits? That's the question today. We are asking you, the Take Two family. If you're not Catholic, maybe you could weigh in and say, when you see a priest or a sister, a nun, do you stop for a minute and say, I wonder what order they belong to or where they're from? I mean, do you have thoughts like that? Are you curious? Do you ever want to walk up to a priest or a sister and ask them questions? Let's talk about it today. Maybe you didn't have a good experience with a priest or a nun. You know, some people went to Catholic school and they tell, you know, some really horror stories of going to Catholic school. I mean, that's unfortunate, but let's still talk about it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Please call in now. Call in early because we don't want to leave anybody on the line. I do agree with you, Jerry. This is going to be, I think, a fun and informative and just a really enlightening discussion today. I feel it.
I think so, too. And we often have priests and religious listening to the broadcast. So if you are a priest or a nun or a religious brother or a permanent deacon, if you would like to call in and share, you know, as you wear your clerics or your habits as you travel, maybe in public, when you go to the grocery store, when you're just out running errands, maybe you've been out and about doing some early Christmas shopping. Do people acknowledge you? Do they look at you? Do they show you signs of appreciation? How do you feel about wearing your clerics and your religious habits? Let's have a wide-ranging conversation about this today. That number again is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
I know we're going to hit the pause button in just a minute, so we're going to ask our first-time caller, James. Hang on, James, please. We want you to lead the discussion. You're calling in from South Florida. We want you to start this wonderful broadcast of Take Two as we are talking about what does it mean to you when our priests and religious wear their clerics and habits. Very interesting question. I'm glad we're tackling it, but we need to hear from you. So if you sit this out, think somebody else is going to answer for you, it's probably not going to happen. We want to hear your story when you see our priests in their clerics, when they are dressed as a priest. What does it do to you? How do you feel? What do you think of? What do you want to go up and ask them a question? Do you want to say, how are you doing, Father? Do you want to say thank you? Please share with us today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jerry, I know we only have 10 seconds, but I notice you're wearing your clerics. That's your seminary clerics, correct?
Yeah, we're required to. I can comment on that a little bit after the short break here. We're going to get back to the show and back to your calls here in just a moment on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Stay with us and make that call. Debbie mentioned we're going to start off with James and get to other calls here on the broadcast today. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It's your show. And we're talking today about our priests and religious wearing their clerical clothes, their habits in public. Have you had an opportunity maybe unexpectedly to maybe encounter one? Debbie and I both love to encourage our priests and religious to go up and say hi to them when they're, you know, because a lot of people, associate Catholic religious garb with, you know, negative thoughts or things about the church. And we want to uphold the good men and women who are, you know, giving their lives, you know, for the sake of the faith and for the sake of souls. So what does it mean to you? Take Two family. It's your show. Take it away right now. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Hang on, James. I just want to mention a new book in the EWTN Religious Catalog. It's called Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite by Father Robert Fox. It's a power-packed book on heaven, on the Eucharist. Mariologist Father Robert Fox shows how Jesus is the very reflection of the Father and how God loves you intensely through his sacrifice on Calvary and his enduring presence in the Holy Mass. Crossing the barriers of time, Father Fox writes from his heart, drawing from a lifetime of priestly experience, study, and prayer. In addition to acquiring the many benefits of living an authentically Eucharistic spirituality, you'll also learn the message from Jesus, Our Lady, and the angels on the Mass, the revelations of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, why Eucharistic adoration is crucial to growing in charity and union with our Lord, and so much more. This book is available now at the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. You get free standard shipping on online orders, $75 or more in the continental United States. Just use code FREE when you check out.
Don't forget to tell us about the clerics that you're wearing, because that's not your permanent, like, in public. That's for the seminary. So you're going to share that. Mm-hmm. We've also got YouTube comments coming in. We need some more folks to call in, though, if you want to make this a very robust discussion on this. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. How do you feel when you see a priest wearing his clerics out in public? What does it make you think of? Do you want to go up to him? Do you want to talk to him? Please tell us your story, your experience. Let's go to James, as promised, who's waiting so patiently, a first-time caller from South Florida. Jerry, Sirius XM 130 is the way. James is listening. Hi, James. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The question about how I feel when I see a priest in a collar, and I see nuns, you know, in their habits, I feel respect. Not that I wouldn't have respect knowing someone is a priest or a nun, but I have just a feeling of clear, separate, that is a person of God who has dedicated their lives to the church, to God, and to really to think about, I mean, I'm telling you to think about it, but I think about it that, you know, they've given up. Gained so much, and they gained so much for us as well. And I have to admit, and I was kind of harsh with the caller, the screener, so I'll be a little more gentle now, but I don't appreciate seeing, you know, a man I know as a priest dressed in just some regular outfit, you know, being all chummy, or a nun in, you know, in just some kind of scarf or something. You know, it's almost flippant to me. And I'm sure they don't mean it that way, but it's an aspect of back in the 60s Vatican too that I think tried to be doing something to bring people closer to the clergy, but I don't think it has that effect. Anyway, that's my opinion. So when I see a priest, I nod, I say hello, Father. I am just so grateful that they are in public and clearly a priest of the Catholic Church or a sister. So that's how I feel about it. And again, thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're most welcome, James. And I think Debbie and I both share your sentiments about, you know, it's really kind of a feeling of pride, kind of a healthy sense of pride, seeing, you know, one of our leaders, like you said, a man or a woman who has dedicated their entire life, you know, and we always say, well, you know, they've given up a lot to do that. Well, they're gaining a lot as well. And we understand that from a spiritual standpoint, that the men and women who do become priests and religious, you know, they gain a lot as well. But, you know, regarding your point about, you know, when you see, when you know someone is a priest or a religious and they're not in their religious clothing, you know, I think sometimes, you know, there was this trend, I think, among priests, you know, going back a ways. You mentioned sort of kind of post-Vatican II, you know, some of them would even sit, you know, down in the congregation, you know, when Mass was going on, to kind of, you know, show this sort of equality, if you will. But we do understand that, you know, the priest has, you know, ontologically, you know, a place in the sanctuary to lead the people of God. And I would just simply say, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, James, that, you know, if a priest or a religious is, you know, a priest in particular, if they're on their day off and they're going to, you know, go golfing or do something like that, you know, there are certain circumstances when, you know, you can certainly understand that they might not be wearing their clerics. But Debbie, I'll let you comment. I know you probably got something to say to James.
No, I know. I think it's an interesting take that you are presenting to us, James. And I've worked for a lot of priests, and they have said to me, I've asked them sometimes when they're traveling, I'll say, Father, how come you're not wearing your clerics when you get on the plane? And sometimes they would say, like, I just need to relax. I need to, you know, because they do feel like they're going to present
on.
To be on, or to, you know, just to, they don't want that attention either. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic that happens when priests, especially when they're traveling. But I agree with you, James, when you see a person that has devoted their life to God and the church and the service of the people, as a priest or religious, it is truly amazing. And I think we need more heroes in this world. And I think our priests and religious can bring that to us. which is great. And so I would encourage, you know, those that are that have that vocation in the church to really consider that for the rest of us, being an example like that, especially when you're out in public. Although I will tell you, I have a lot of priest friends that when they go out to dinner, they don't wear their clerics, just again, so that they can relax. Any comments on that, James, just about their downtime? Like, should they be able to not have to dress like that?
Yes, I concur completely with that. What I was more referring to was trying to, as the other gentleman mentioned, you know, the attempt to become less distinct from the laity, you know, to be chummy and folksy, and that, especially in a church environment. I mean, I can't imagine, I don't think priests are allowed to say Mass without wearing vestments, or at least a stole, and I don't appreciate the you know, trying to smooth over and eliminate the very important separation, the mark of ordination. So no, in these other contexts, golfing, of course, or yeah, even on a plane or at dinner. But you know, I have a good priest friend, and he wears his clerics, you know, everywhere, and you know, is retired, and that's his choice. And I understand the other the option that you described. You know, just I just want to go out and not be recognized as a priest because I'm kind of off my job for the minute, although you're never really off. So that, so I do agree and understand that, and I didn't mean to denigrate that type of situation.
No, yeah. We didn't take it that way.
Yeah,
James,
we didn't take it that way. No, we were just trying to expand the conversation. But yeah, totally, I agree. But you know, it is, I mean, Jerry, well, James, before you go, let's ask Jerry, since you waited so long to get on air. Jerry, when you become a priest, God willing, are you going to wear your clerics all the time?
Not all the time, but most of the time I would definitely wear them when I'm traveling. I've even thought about having t-shirts made up saying, I will hear your confession, you know, as I walk through an airport, because that's been so meaningful to me to have, to, you know, come across a priest providentially in airports when I wanted to have my confession heard. You know, I think, you know, in most contexts I would, but yeah, there are certain times, I can definitely imagine when I would not have the clerics on, good Lord willing, you know, like I said, if I do get ordained. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. James, we're so glad you started the conversation. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Take Two, and we hope you have a blessed Advent. We're in the first week, the week of hope, so have a blessed Advent, James. Thank you, and call us again for sure. That you can't just be a first-time caller and that's it. Not one and done. That's it. You have to call us again, right, Jer?
Yep. Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
We get withdrawals if you do that.
We got some other calls we're going to get to here, but there is a phone line open there, and we're having a conversation today about our priests and religious wearing their clerics or their habits, their religious garb. How important is that to you? And I think just, you know, following on what James was saying, you know, Debbie, you know, if there are priests and religious listening right now, like we said, we understand there are contexts in which, you know, you may choose not to wear your religious garb. But please understand, you know, we don't see it, you know, when you do so, we don't see it as a sign that, you know, you're saying you're better than us or anything like that. We actually, like I said earlier, I see it as, I take pride in that. You know, I want to go up to the priests. I know you do too, Debbie.
I always
and
do.
And our religious, you know, and I always do that, you know, in airports or whatever. I'll just, if I'm passing them by, you know, 30 feet away, I'll yell, sister, hey, sister,
me
God
too.
Bless you. Thank you for being a sister. And they just, you know, it really uplifts them, because a lot of times our religious are walking around in public wondering, you know, what are people thinking about me right now?
Yeah,
you know,
Go ahead. Except when I ran up to, when you said you would yell across the airport, hey, sister, thank you. Okay, I've done that too, and they've waved, and sisters are so sweet. I love them. They're adorable. Okay, but then remember that time that priest was wearing the cassock, and I said, he's wearing a cassock, Jerry, and I made a beeline for him, and I started racing up to him, and he backed away. I think he thought I was going to attack him. I really do. And I was like, no, Father, I just want to say thank you for wearing the cassock. I love it. And we just started talking, and then he told me where he was from, and I told him where I was from, and it was so nice. But at first, the look of sheer horror on his face when I was running up to him. So you have to be careful. Like, you want to, you know, you never know, right?
Right.
You want to be careful. So you just walk up respectfully and say thank you. Okay, Gabriel on YouTube, Jerry, please wave. I feel a reminder to holiness, something I myself am trying to be like, more Christ-like. So that's what Gabriel says when... they see a priest in their clerics.
Well, weigh in on the conversation. We have a line available just for you right now. You got something to say, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We'll find out what's on Tara's mind in Missouri, what listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Tara. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Howdy. I'm calling from Kansas City. I'm always impressed anytime, I see, the priest or anyone is wearing their habits, and so I like the observation of making it respectful. My story was back in the 70s. I was home from college and just driving around the neighborhood, and happened to go by the old church in Wichita, and Father Allen was walking from the rectory over to the school. But he was wearing a cassock, and that was the first time I had seen anyone wearing it, and I remember being so impressed, and I never saw a priest wearing a cassock again until just these past few years, as we've had young priests being ordained and whatnot. They're the ones who are wearing the cassock, and it is impressive. I mean, it's distinctive, and it makes you stop and take notice and show respect. So, yeah, I'm definitely all for it.
I totally agree. I love the cassock look. And let's ask Jerry, are you going to wear the cassock? What are you laughing for?
The cassock look. I love it.
Yeah.
Just love the way Debbie put that. I have a cassock, and when I serve Mass at my home parish, I wear the cassock and the surplice. Both of the priests at my home parish, the Basilica of St. Paul in Daytona Beach, Florida, both of them wear the cassock quite often,
nice.
Especially on weekends, when they're celebrating Masses and hearing confessions. So, I'm not opposed to a cassock. I'm not necessarily a cassock guy per se, but not opposed to it at all. Like I said, I have one. I wear it when I serve Mass. But just as far as, kind of on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour basis, I don't know. I'm sure on occasion.
Yeah, it is cool. And doesn't it, Tara? It does make you feel like there's holiness in the place, right?
Oh, yeah. That it is impressive. And there's still that sort of old school kind of thing. I remember in the movie The Quiet Man, set in Ireland, and there's the young priest, Father Paul, who's wearing a cassock, throughout the movie or whatnot. And so it's a connection and a distinction. Very cool.
I totally agree. And I did notice that the newly ordained priests are wearing the cassock. So that's a wonderful thing. But Tara, thank you so much for weighing in on this discussion. You actually prompted full phone lines, because other people have had the same, they're having thoughts now since you called in, and our first caller, James. So thanks, you guys, for getting us off and running on this wonderful episode of Take Two. We appreciate it. Have a blessed Advent.
Super. Oh, you guys too. Thanks so much.
God bless,
thank
Tara.
You.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. Loving the conversation so far. Our topic today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, it's your show, asking you, what is it? How important is it for you for our priests and religious to wear their clerics, their habits? Do you see them in public? Do you acknowledge them? Do you really try and go up and really give them a word of gratitude, when you see them publicly or even just around the parish? Of course, they're probably going to be wearing them there, but maybe on an airplane or, in the supermarket or what have you. 833-288-EWTN is the number to call if you'd like to be a part of the conversation. 833-288-3986.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to get to our dear friend Oscar, who's waiting so patiently. So Oscar, don't go anywhere. You're going to hear the music in just about 5 seconds. And we want to continue this discussion, and the others are calling in as well. They're going to share how they feel when they see our priests or the religious wearing their clerics or habits. How do you feel? We want to know. We care. That's what Take Two is all about. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for taking part of your day to be with us. We love having you as part of the Take Two family. I'm Jerry Efshire along with Debbie Giorgiani. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie talking today about priests wearing their priestly clothes. We call them clerics, and women and men, religious, wearing their habits, especially publicly, and especially when maybe they're in a context where they wouldn't have to, you know, traveling out at a restaurant or out in public somewhere. Does that, what does that do for your heart when you see that? You know, does it make you, you know, proud in a healthy way to be, you know, a Catholic Christian, you know, and to see our leaders, our men and women, our holy men and women who have given up their entire lives for us, you know, do you make it a point to acknowledging them and saying hello? 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Oscar, hang on. We mentioned we were going to go to you next, but Rusty is in a bit of a hurry in Louisiana. So, Rusty, we're going to fit you in before Oscar, listening on Christ Our King Radio. Hi, Rusty.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay. Years ago, in, I want to say, 2001 or 2002, I was in Lourdes, France. And I saw a patriarch, and he was in all black garb with like a hat on with like a veil kind of thing on his hat. Mm-hmm. And he was walking with a woman and maybe another person. And I was with a couple of friends, and I was just inspired to just go up to him and ask for a blessing. And he blessed all of us. And I didn't get where he was from or, you know, which patriarch he was. But I know the Pope just went to Bartholomew to talk about unifying the church.
Unity,
Or coming with a common date for Easter or something. Anyway, so when y'all were talking about priests and garb, it reminded me of seeing the patriarch and asking for a blessing. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to share that with y'all.
Wow. That was beautiful. Jerry will remember this. Remember we were in the Holy Land, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we were at the Holy Sepulchre.
Yes.
Remember that? And the Greek Orthodox priests were there. And we were told that it's a kind of a similar situation. It was so beautiful, Rusty. We were told that they weren't, you know, everybody had to share that space. So, you know, and so they were sharing the space. And so a lot of people said, well, you go up and talk to them if you want to see if maybe they'll give us a little bit more time. So I went up and talked to the Greek Orthodox, and we had a blast. We took pictures. They blessed us. They were wonderful. They were so amazing. And remember that, Jerry? And it bought us some more time at the Holy Sepulchre, which was great. But but I get it, Rusty. I think anytime we see these holy men and women of God, and we see that they are different, they are set apart in a way because of their vocation, obviously, and they have done this in such a way for us, in service to us, so that we can be helped along the way to get to heaven. I love when they don't care that you're not a parishioner, or you know, you're not even, you know, we're not part of the Greek Orthodox Church when I went up to this priest, but you know what, they stepped right into that role of being that spiritual father or a spiritual mother for the religious. I love it, Rusty. I love that you got that blessing. What do you say, Jer?
No, I agree. I remember on that trip to the Holy Land, the same trip, you know, we had the meeting with, I think it was the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, I remember,
mm-hmm.
if I'm getting the title right there. And yeah, you can't mistake the patriarchs. You know, they've got the full habit.
It's like a headdress,
and,
isn't it?
And
like
then the long beards, and you can't miss them. They're very, very beautiful in their clerical garb. Rusty, any other thoughts you want to mention?
You brought up the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I have a story about that, if you want to hear it. I don't know if you do.
Sure, real quick. Go ahead.
Getting off
the
subject.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, we were in the Holy Land, and we were in around the northern part in Galilee. And I'm a church musician, and I decided not to bring my guitar on the international plane trip. But anyway, there was this group from some Hispanic country, and they were singing, and they were so joyful and everything, and I was jealous of them, and I wanted to join them, and not be with my group. Anyway, I asked our tour guide for a guitar if he could find one for me. So he found one for me, and the next we were on our way to the south part, which is Jerusalem, Judea. And our next mass was going to be in the Holy Sepulchre, and there's a side chapel for Mary Magdalene when Jesus saw Mary Magdalene. And, you know, there's all the scriptures there about it. And I think it's in John's Gospel. So I was preparing for a mass, and he did get a guitar for me. It was a cheap old toy thing, but it worked, you know. So in the hotel, I was getting music together, and it was going to be a mass of the resurrection because I saw the readings. Anyway, during that time, I had a friend who, she's blind, she's a diabetic, she has a lot of health issues, and she died. And I always thought that if she would die, she would go straight to heaven because she had so many things, and she offered it all up to God. Mm-hmm. And so we found out that she died, and it was like the mass was for her, and mm-hmm. and it was her mass of resurrection, and it was in the Holy Sepulchre.
Wow.
And anyway, we sang some resurrection songs. I felt like we were the envy of everyone in the Holy Sepulchre. There's probably a couple of thousand people there at once, you know. You know, our little group, we probably had about 25, 30. And everybody was singing, and I felt like we were the ones that were rejoicing in God, and, you know, and we were the envy of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Instead of... being jealous of someone else. Anyway, that's, I'll always remember that.
Sure.
And when we were in Galilee, the reading for that was, it was at the place where they multiplied the loaves and the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, oh, I didn't bring my loaves and my fish. If I had brought my loaves and my, or, you know, the Lord would have multiplied it. And and then he did I did bring my loaves and fish for the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem.
Right.
So
right.
Anyway, it was kind beautiful. Of a neat story that I have.
that's beautiful. Yeah. Boy, you've been on some great places. That's amazing, Rusty. Wow, we could talk to you forever. That is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And see, when we do this, we kind of organically unfold the conversations, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. So thank you for participating. Mm-hmm. And we know you're in a hurry, so we're going to let you go on that.
Thanks, Rusty. All right, we're going to get to Oscar now in Winchester, Virginia, watching the video on YouTube. We'll wave at you there, Oscar, and all of those watching the video stream. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Jerry, Debbie, great to see you guys. I'm waving back to you all and greetings to all of my Take Two friends on EWTN Radio. It's great to hear you guys again.
Thank you.
Likewise. Yeah, good to have you with us.
So here's my take on our priests and religious and their importance of their clerics and habits. Well, I myself have seen a lot of priests with their their cleric and their, you know, their priestly wear. And my thoughts on the great importance of it is like this. Visual wise, it represents, you know, their dedication to, you know, their service and their commitment to their, mm-hmm. you know, their life. You know, they've dedicated their lives, of course, to God himself. And I truly believe that with them, you know, wearing their clericals and their priestly wear and their habits for religious, I think that's a great sign, you know, just a great, you know, visual representation of what, you know, what they have, you know, basically, you know, they've dedicated their lives to. And so I truly believe that the great importance of it is very much well known, and many who somewhat are confused about what they're wearing need to kind of get, you know, to understand the context, to kind of understand what it really represents. And mm-hmm. so, and secondly, I just thought, well, they're like with those on, it's visual wise, it's amazing, very beautiful.
Well, Oscar, yeah, thanks for the call so very much. And, you know, an analogy that comes to my mind is like, you know, our military men and women, you know, when you see them out in right. public, you know, wearing their military garb, you know, it immediately it says something to us. Like you're talking about, Oscar, it makes a statement about, you know, who this person is and, you know, what they're made of and what they have, you know, given up or gone, what they're going through mm-hmm. to, you know, to benefit us. I mean, there's a great benefit to us by what they are doing in serving our country and defending our country. So there's just something, Debbie, that jumps out at us, you know, when we see a priest or a religious wearing their clerics or their habit in public. I think it makes a statement to us, and, you know, it should make us be grateful and express that gratitude in some fashion.
Yeah, you know, Oscar and Jerry, you got me thinking about this. With the military, we're talking about the uniform, we're talking about clerics or the habits, but even when we wear any religious articles on us, like a crucifix, or we wear, you know, there's a lot of spiritual clothing lines now. It's unbelievable how many I've seen now on the internet. It's incredible. So you'll see people wearing with huge crosses on their sweatshirts and things of that nature. You know, that's another statement they're making. And it's bringing God into the world. And I love that. I think for all of us as lay people, and for the religious that you know took those vows and for their vocation, absolutely they should uphold that by wearing the proper attire. But same for us as the laity. You guys got me thinking on this, and I think this is a really great, Oscar. I love your take on this, because it's actually making me think maybe we should do more of this, especially during the season of Advent right now. We should have more of bringing Christ into the world so people can remember the reason for the season. What do you say, Oscar, real quick?
Well, what you said is indeed correct. We are in the season of Advent. We're in the first week of Advent, and already I'm starting to feel like the Holy Spirit is kind of working into me and trying to prepare myself and my family for this very important season that we're in, because this is a time, my dear friends, where we are preparing ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, if you do not know, was mm-hmm. born in Bethlehem in that small stable. And so we need to ourselves prepare our bodies, prepare our souls for this important event, because, of course, this is also a penitential season that we really must take seriously. And so, my friends, if you are out there right now listening to my voice, and I'm pretty much sure you are, try to prepare yourself in a way that'll get you more into that spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a lot of strength and a lot of that, you know, spirituality flowing in your body during this season. And again, I feel like this season is something that all of us need to take very, very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Great words, Oscar.
You've
got some gifts from the Holy Spirit, so be sure and put those to the best possible use you can. We'll be praying for you, and thank you for your prayers for us on this end as well. Thanks for being a contributing member of the Take Two family. We really do appreciate that. We've got a bunch of calls we're going to get to here. I want to mention just real quickly, call to communion with Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Dr. Anders has the answers you might be looking for, weekday afternoons at 2 Eastern Time, with encores evenings at 11 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. And hear and see Dr. David Anders as he takes calls from fallen away Catholics and non-Catholics Saturday afternoon, 4 Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Television.
Okay, all the rest of the callers are first-time callers, so everybody hang on. We're going to try to go really fast. Annie is a first-time caller from Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Annie. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy your show, Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annie.
I had a very interesting time in traveling last, I believe it was last year. I do lots and lots of air travel, so airports are very familiar with me all over the U.S. And anyway, I was running to my gate because it was a series of one of those probably storms, causing all these flight delays, flight cancellations, just crazy. And I was running to my gate, and I looked over, and there was Father Mark Mary from EWTN. And the look on his face was very discouraged, to be honest. I could just read it within a matter of seconds. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe his flight was delayed like all of ours, you know, that kind of thing. So I wanted to go up to him. I really did. I wanted to just run up, but I didn't. I thought, oh, just leave him, you know, leave him alone. He's probably tired like the rest of us, and so what I did was said a prayer for him.
Aww.
So, yes, so I'm excited to say that when I do see priests and nuns in travel or out, I always say a prayer for them.
Good. Oh, thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you for doing that. What a blessed providential encounter you had seeing EWTN's Father Mark Mary. Reminds me of the time I encountered Johnette Williams in an airport. I think it was the Tampa airport. I don't know if we didn't see each other, but one of us heard the other's voice. I can't remember. We were talking on the phone, and either I heard her voice and turned around or she heard mine. But it was one of those beautiful, beautiful moments. But yeah, Annie, thank you. You know, you've really hit upon something here. If we do encounter, you know, a priest, especially in something, you know, or a religious for that matter, mm-hmm. in a place like an airport or just really anywhere, you know, we want to do what we can to acknowledge them if the time does permit us to do so, Debbie.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I'm so glad you shared it with us, Annie. Now, it says here you're a first-time caller. No more. That's it. You got to call us again and have a blessed Advent, please. We're going to get to Nancy, another first-time caller in Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. Well, my son is actually a priest. He's been a priest for a little over a year. And so I've had many opportunities to be with him in public with his cassock on. One in particular instance, we were at a restaurant and we were waiting for a table, and a busboy came over and asked him, I think he said something like, "Are you a man of God?" And my son was like, "Of course, yes, I'm a Catholic priest." And the young man, the busboy, said, "I've just started reading the Bible." And he was so excited about it, and he wanted to tell somebody, and he wanted to find somebody like that he thought was a man of God. And so he continued to talk and say a few things. And so my son was able to clear up a few misconceptions that he had about the Catholic Church that he'd heard along the way. And then my son said, "Well, if you ever want to talk anymore, I'm just down the road at the Catholic Church. You can come and see me, or you can come to Mass." And it was just an amazing experience because this young man, just starting reading the Bible, he found somebody that he thought was important to tell, and it was my son in his cassock.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, wow. Are you a man of God? I love that. And he started reading the Bible, and he wanted to tell someone. What a beautiful story. Nancy, can you share with us, do you feel comfortable sharing with us your son's name, Father, what's his name?
His name's Father Andrew.
Father Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to put him in the prayer book. Please tell him thank you for saying yes to his vocation.
I will.
Definitely.
Well, you and your family have done, you can see the great job that you did, Nancy, and all of you planting all of the seeds, and they have been watered by various different means, and now they've blossomed into a priestly vocation. That is so absolutely, what a blessing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nancy. Please, again, give Father Andrew our best and to your entire family, and just tell him thank you for being a priest and being that witness, you know, wherever he goes. Yeah, please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a beautiful call.
Yeah.
I love that.
Being a priest in public can have its advantages. I remember I was in an Apple store in San Diego and I saw a young man dressed as a priest. I said, "Are you a Catholic priest?" He said, "Yes." And I bought his stuff for him.
You did? Wow.
I'm not patting myself on the back. I have a policy. If I go out to dinner with a priest or somewhere like that, the priest does not pay, you know?
Right. I have the same policy. Same thing. But real quickly, Marie in LA said this, and please wave on YouTube and Facebook. "I went out to eat at a restaurant and I saw a priest. I picked up his tab and to show my appreciation, and he didn't say thank you or wave to acknowledge his gratefulness. I am wondering if priests wear their clerics to get free stuff or to show they have some sort of status better than others." You know, Marie, I've been out, and Jerry, you have as well. I've been out with a lot of priests for lunch and dinner and for meetings. I don't think they expect that at all. I think sometimes they're shocked. They don't know who did it for them. They're not quite sure. Or sometimes they're just moving in such a fast speed sometimes that I've seen that happen before. And I know that they, down deep, so many of them are most grateful when people acknowledge that they are a priest and don't really make a lot of money. Right?
That's right. Yeah. All right, let's get to Hang On Brain in Maryland. We're going to try to get to you right after Kathy, who called before you in Wisconsin, a first-time caller listening on Spirit Radio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I enjoy your program so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. We love you, so thank you.
I'm not able to get to church any longer, so I have a deacon that comes to bring me Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. And when he first came in, he had his clerics on. And I guess it just struck me because I was so surprised because I didn't know that the deacons wore the clerics. Mm-hmm. And it just made me feel so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some areas, go ahead, Kathy, please.
And I just, when I heard what the topic was going to be, my ears perked up and I got a call because I've always had so much more respect for priests and nuns that wear their habits and their clerics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because years ago, that's when it all started, where they thought that people would be able to relate to them better when they didn't wear their habits or their clerics. And that's not true.
Right.
That's not true at all. You just have so much more respect.
Yeah. I agree with you. I have to say, I love when the deacons wear their clerics, or if they have it in their diocese that they're assigned, or if they wear a big crucifix. Like I know Deacon Harold Burke Sivers wears a big crucifix. Mm-hmm. I think it does make that impression where you just feel like, you know, God is in the house. And so I love that, Kathy. I agree with you.
Yeah, I was really surprised because that. He told me, he says, I want to do that. I want to wear them.
So. Aww.
Nice.
Yeah, he's only been a deacon for about 3 years. He's older, too.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's not like in some dioceses like mine, Orlando, the deacons they're not allowed to wear the clerics, but they have special shirts with the deacon symbol on them. And they vest for mass, just like deacons would as well. Kathy, thank you so much. God bless you. Want to hustle over to Brian's phone call, first-time caller in Maryland. Brian, we definitely have about a minute for you. We wanted to squeeze you in because you waited quite a while. Go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate it. Just sharing as a catechumen, that it is, well, first off, you guys were mentioning, you know, military, you like seeing, you know, our servicemen in uniform in public. I am in the military, and there is kind of like some branches are different, but mostly they discourage it. So I guess I'll keep that in mind. But I just wanted to share that as a catechumen, it is, you know, I appreciate it seeing priests or sisters in public wearing their clerics. And I just think it is nice to, I don't know if there's a possibility that, you know, they can make a more of an effort to wear them in public. And I think it would benefit maybe for people in my situation as catechumenless, like,
sure,
you know, kind of new into the faith, you know, knowing that you're not kind of alone, or like there's other people out there that you can go to.
Well, yeah, Brian, you're on your way, you know, into becoming, you know, Catholic, and, you know, I'm sure it would mean a lot to you to see, you know, our priests, our religious, you know, because you're learning about the faith right now. You're learning about the priesthood. You're learning about religious life, the roles that these men and women play in our lives and the, you know, in the church overall. So I can see how this would be important to you. And God bless you on your journey, brother. Please, you're a first-time caller today, but you won't be ever again. So keep listening. Please keep calling the program. You hear the music. We are just running out of time. I want to thank the wonderful show team today, Vanessa, Michael, and Pedro. Our topic tomorrow is one of our prayer shows. Whom or what are you praying for? Get your prayer intentions ready. Join us tomorrow right here on EWTN Radio. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.